It's here and now. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki is meeting with President Obama in Washington today. The Prime Minister wants more U.S. help to fight the recent surge in sectarian violence between majority Shia and minority Sunni Muslims. Prime Minister Maliki is a Shia. He fled the country when Saddam Hussein, who was Sunni, was its leader. And now, under Maliki's leadership, the Sunni are feeling underrepresented. And some are joining forces with al-Qaeda fighters. How are Iraqis in the U.S. watching what's going on? Omar Fakeki worked for the Washington Post in Baghdad from 2003 to 2006. He came to the U.S., earned a degree in journalism, and today he's an assignment editor for Radio Sawa. That's the U.S.-funded station that beams news and pop music around the Arab world. And Omar joins us from the NPR studios in Washington. Omar, I know you come from a mix of Sunni and Shia, but we are wondering, are you neutral here?
When I look at Iraqis, I don't see these differences. I just see Iraqis. I come from Sunni, Shia, Arab, Kurd backgrounds, and in my head, I'm all together. I represent the Iraq that we think and believe that was a myth, but it isn't.
A myth that there could be someone who comes from so many different backgrounds.
Yeah, and that Iraqis can live together no matter what the religious and political backgrounds is. That exists. We are just not empowering it. The international community and a governing group in Iraq is not empowering it.
Well, the Sunni, who are again are in the minority, but once were in power with Saddam Hussein, feel that now they're being cut out by the Maliki government. And we spoke yesterday about how a group of U.S. senators has written a letter to President Obama saying that any aid to Iraq should be tied to his being more inclusive. Do you think he's at fault here?
If I had to single out one person, it is Maliki. I mean, we have to ask ourselves first, why is Maliki asking for U.S. help and military aid now? In 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, the security situation improved in Iraq without that help or with minimal help. Why did that happen? Why was it better than now? And the answer is because at the time they had this strategy of empowering Sunni people, not only politicians, with what we called Sahwa people, who were fighters against the government, but then they were put on the pay list of the Iraqi government and they fought against al-Qaeda. But a year or two ago, Maliki started to alienate them again and they just gave up and went back home.
So you're saying that the Maliki government at one time did reach out to Sunni and Salawa fighters and was inclusive, and they're not now. But the Maliki government would say and has said that the problem now is because of the border with Syria and of al-Qaeda fighters coming over the border from the civil war in Syria and fighting in Iraq. And he's laying the blame at the feet of the U.S. government for not doing enough to help stem the problem in Syria, which he says is now coming into his country.
The Iraqi borders are all Sunni areas. Had he continued paying those people, the Sahwa fighters, they could have protected the borders with Syria. And let's not forget that there are reports and evidence that Maliki himself is sending people into Syria. So that will definitely attract insurgents into Iraq to killing Iraqis in Baghdad streets and other provinces.
So what do you think is the solution here? Do you think the U.S. should give more support to Iraq, or will that just make people who have wanted to break from the U.S. in Iraq feel that once again they're being occupied? I mean, what do you think the solution is?
I'm one of those people who really believe that the U.S. should not be part of the solution. All the U.S. can do is end its support to this government. Then the Iraqis have to take all the responsibility. Our main problem is our constitution. We need a complete shake-up, a overhaul shake-up of our political system. And that will not start until the U.S. shows Iraqis, ordinary Iraqis, that it is not supporting the current political system.
Well, meanwhile, you left Iraq because you were threatened. Your family was threatened because you were working for an American newspaper. How are family members who you've had to leave behind? What are you hearing?
We live in a, unfortunately now, a complete Sunni neighborhood. So it's cordoned in a way. People cannot go in and out unless they're residents of the neighborhood. So that bubble is kind of safe. Once they leave that bubble, they actually kiss their family members goodbye. My older brother leaves the home to go to work every day, and he just believes that he's not going back. So he says his goodbyes every single morning.
That's got to be incredibly hard for you to be here and know that a sibling is living that way there.
It is very frustrating. What made it much easier a few years ago when the U.S. administration had kind of listened to us, but now I feel that I'm just tied. I can't do anything. I can't do anything by word or suggestions or anything. I'm powerless, and that's what most of the Iraqis inside and out are feeling now.
On the other hand, Omar, I just got to ask you, I mean, how can the U.S. take the chance that Iraq might fall? You're saying you don't want the U.S. to give any of this air support that Maliki's asking for to defend
or
against the borders.
Or political support.
Yeah, or political support. How can the U.S. take that risk that this violence has been really quite something, that he might fall, that the country might fall?
We have taken the risk in the last 10 years. We've paid enough lives, American and Iraqi lives, and Iraqis now know that this government is not working. They are just powerless. The international community is not listening. And we know in this time and day, if we don't have international support, nothing is going to happen. We need to empower those people inside. We need to give them voice. We need to listen to them and see what they want and try to direct them the right way. I'm not saying Iraqis should be free to do whatever they want with Iraq. At the end, it's one of the important countries in the Middle East. But we should direct them the right way, and we're not doing that now.
That's Omar Fekeke, born in Baghdad, worked for the Washington Post during the Iraq War, had to leave, has been an American citizen now, and works for Radio Sawa, the U.S.-funded radio network broadcasting in the Arab world. Omar, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, and your thoughts? You just heard the devil's advocate position, but Prime Minister al-Maliki, Senator John McCain, others are calling on President Obama to help stem the violence in both Syria and Iraq because we can't afford to let those countries fail. But Omar and others say Maliki has to be forced to be more inclusive. This is a problem only Iraqis can solve. Your thoughts at hereandnow.org.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.